From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. It's time for the Backseat Book Club, our regular feature for our youngest listeners and the adults in their lives. Every month, we ask kids to read a book along with us. But before we get to that special book, we first have to spend some time acknowledging a very special movie based on this month's pick. Our colleague Michelle Norris explains why.
We're going to spend some time with the big screen first, because that's usually what comes to mind when you mention The Wizard of Oz.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is the Wizard of Wiz, if ever a wiz there was.
It's safe to say that most Americans are familiar with the classic film and the image of the stumbling scarecrow, the rusted tin man, the cowardly lion, and Dorothy, played by the actress Judy Garland, clad in gingham and braids. Over the years, The Wizard of Oz has been a popular and profitable franchise, producing toys, Halloween costumes, ruby slipper replicas, and several spin-offs, including a film called The Wiz. That 1978 Motown musical was an urbanized version of Dorothy's visit to the Land of Oz, featuring an all-black cast and music by Quincy Jones. The Backseat Book Club is going back to where the Yellow Brick Road began with the original book that started it all. First published more than 100 years ago, it was an immediate hit. The author L. Frank Baum was a jack-of-all-trades businessman who lived all over America, and he loved telling bedtime stories to his children. And few know more about Baum and his Oz books than Michael Patrick Hearn. Among other things, he's the editor of The Annotated Wizard of Oz. He joined us from New York to tell us more about why he's so obsessed with all things Oz.
Oh, I think it was just the sense that a child can go to this other place where all kinds of adventures, and you never know what's going to happen next. It just captured my imagination. Those strange characters, the strange things that happened. But it always was from a child's point of view. You always saw what happened in Oz through Dorothy's eyes. So you're traveling with that child and seeing all these wonders as she's discovering them.
Why Oz? Why the word Oz? Because if it was the Wonderful Wizard of Id or the Wonderful Wizard of, you know, any almost anything else, it just wouldn't have that kind of magic. Oz is just perfect.
Well, that was really an accident. Baum himself said that he was trying to find a name, and nothing came to him, and he was looking around his study, and he looked at a filing cabinet. And there were three drawers, A to G, H to N, and O to Z. And that's where the word came from.
Isn't it amazing where inspiration can come from?
Exactly.
Many people will easily migrate toward the film because it's everywhere. Why is it worth it to go back to the original book and read The Wizard of Oz?
Well, there's so many adventures that happen in the book that are not in the motion picture. The motion picture concentrated primarily on the Wicked Witch. I mean, the threat of her all the way through, but Dorothy has a lot of other dangers to overcome. And even after the wizard has disappeared in his balloon, Dorothy goes south to see Glinda. So there are a number of chapters, more adventures that she goes through to find Glinda, who will then send her back home. There's still another phase of it that is not covered in the motion picture.
We have a group of second graders from Cottage Hill Elementary School who did go back and read the book. They said they loved it. Mm-hmm. And they said if they could speak to Mr. Baum, they would ask him a few questions. So I want you to have a chance to answer some of the kids' questions. So let's listen to a few of them.
I am Anders, and I was wondering why he didn't make Toto talk.
Well, L. Frank Baum later explained that in TikTok of Oz, the seventh Oz book, Toto was actually asked why he never talked in Oz. And he said he had nothing to say.
How easy is that?
Well, of course, Oz is a place where animals talk. The Cowardly Lion has no problem speaking. You know, it's also possible that Toto he was born in America and dogs in America don't talk.
I was also wondering if the book is called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, why does Oz turn out to be such a humbug?
I think Baum is dealing with irony, of course. And, I mean, there's irony throughout the book. But he was emphasizing self-reliance. You see that with the Scarecrow, Tomb, and Cowardly Lion. They all have the gifts that they seek. They just don't have a tangible symbol of what they want. Dorothy also has to go out and seek what she wants. And nothing stops her. She's probably the first typical American girl in children's literature in that she's very assertive. Nothing dissuades her. She knows what she wants to do, and she goes out and gets it. And I think Baum's emphasizing this, that you have the powers within you all along. You just have to test them and discover them for yourself.
Didn't think about that Dorothy was a real first in that sense.
Well, what's curious is, Ms. Magazine, when they were first founded, published a reading list called Books for Free Children. And the earliest published one on the list was The Wizard of Oz. And Ms. published the first feminist analysis of The Wizard of Oz. And ever since, Wizard of Oz has been considered a very important landmark in Indian feminist children's literature.
The second graders from Cottage Hill Elementary School sent in great questions. I'm going to add one more. When L. Frank Baum wrote this book, did he know that it would have legs, that it would be a smash success?
I think he knew it was a special book, because if you look at the preface, he said that he wanted to create a new, modernized fairy tale. He thought he was introducing something very new to children's literature. He wanted to eliminate the stereotype genie, dwarf, and fairy, as he said, that you find in Grimm, Andersen, and other traditional fairy tales. He wanted one based upon American materials. So you have a little girl from Kansas rather than the Black Forest or from London. And Dorothy meets all sorts of things that she would have met in, living in the United States. A scarecrow, a man made out of tin, a mechanical man. A cowardly lion or a lion you'd probably see in a zoo or a circus. And even the wicked witches are different from what you find in European fairy tales. For example, the Wicked Witch of the West carries an umbrella. And, of course, we know why that is. It's much more practical if you're going to be melted than carrying around a broom.
I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world!
Michael Patrick Hearn is a children's book historian and editor of The Annotated Wizard of Oz. I'm Michelle Norris.
Our next Backseat Book Club book is Lunch Lady and the Cyborg Substitute by Jarrett Krasoska. And kids, if you're reading along, please send questions our way at backseatbookclub@npr.org.
Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly,
Support for NPR's Backseat Book Club comes from Subaru, introducing the all-new 2014 Forester. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.